It's the Brouhaha Podcast with Steve Jackson and Mark Carpenter.
Brouhaha. Brews News with her Linda. Mark Carpenter, who started, as I always say, and I have to say this, he started at Anchor in San Francisco in 71.
Best day of my life when Fritz hired me.
Fritz Maytag, part of the Maytag family.
Yes, correct. He was going to school at Stanford.
Okay, explain
and,
that.
But he was spent a lot of time in the city. And one of the places he used to like to hang out was in North Beach, was the old Spaghetti Factory. And the old Spaghetti Factory had Anchor Steam on draft. It was the only draft beer they ever had. And the owner of that restaurant told Fritz, you know, they're closing Anchor Steam. It's going to go down, and you ought to go see it. And he didn't intend that Fritz should buy it. He just thought you should go see this real part of California history.
Absolutely.
And Fritz did, and Fritz wound up buying it. Fritz always described what you'd pay for a good used car. He paid almost nothing, but he was buying almost nothing. It was just an archaic little brewery.
But then it became
because
iconic.
Of Fritz, because of Fritz. He really, no one else wanted it, and he revived it. And
you know, I think we talked about this last week as well. People still call it Anchor Steam Brewery.
Correct.
But it's Anchor.
It's the Anchor Brewing Company, makers of steam beer.
Exactly.
You got it.
Explain that. And then the whole thing, once again,
well,
I know
Steam is just a was originated in the West Coast when the Gold Rush was out here. There were no breweries. They were only wine drinkers.
And there was no refrigeration.
There was no refrigeration.
Exactly.
And these miners came out, and they wanted beer. And they didn't want English ale. They wanted lager beer, which was coming up. And so this was kind of a combination of brewing methods to give these guys kind of an artificial lager beer. And because they Kroisened it, which is a second fermentation like you do in champagne, develops a lot of CO2 in the keg or the bottle. And these kegs were served in bars, and they would a bunch of foam would come out, just like today if you have a keg that's too warm at a party. And somebody said, well, it looked like you were trying to tap a keg filled with steam. It's just a crazy nickname for the beer. And I've seen these great old photos along bars along the Embarcadero of San Francisco, where these bars would have huge numbers of these big schooners lined up, and they would be, you know, they'd fill them up with beer, but then it was all foam and it would settle. And as the stevedores, the 12 o'clock whistle, the stevedores would come across the Embarcadero into these bars for their beer and their lunch. And these bartenders would just top up these beers, put a little head on it, and hand them out with your free lunch. And
didn't they use, in the old days, didn't they, they'd pour from the tap and then they'd have a like a wooden stick?
Yeah, to rake off the top.
To rake off the top.
Yeah,
of the
you
foam.
See that all the time. But with steam beer, you one would do that, you'd lose half your beer.
Wow.
Brian, when did you what was like?
Introduce our guests again.
Okay.
And we got talk about the popcorn.
We've got Brian Hunt, brewmaster extraordinaire from Moonlight Brewing Company, right here in Santa Rosa, California, and we have these lovely people who I just adore, Sherry and Jeff Selesky from Comet Corn. And if you've been going to festivals or tap rooms and breweries for
just
a
living,
long time.
Actually, just yeah. If anyone's been living
yeah,
around
you'll,
here.
And Oliver's and all these other stores also have the Comet Corn Hippie Dust, Coconut Curry Popcorn, Celestial. But most everybody remembers Hippie Dust, of course, most of all. And I asked Brian to bring in a bag of Hippie Dust one day when he was on the show.
I think I just volunteered it.
Yeah, and Steve fell in love with it. He just was like, so.
Oh, this is so amazing.
Idea.
Mike, can you get a shot of all the popcorns that they brought in, all these bags of popcorn? It's amazing. We have to hit our bottom of the hour break, and then we're going to talk more about the popcorn. And, of course, Moonlight, who everyone loves. We'll get the history and
longest surviving brewery in Sonoma County.
Craft brewery, right?
Brewery, period.
Oh, really?
Craft brewery, yes, but longest surviving brewery in Sonoma County.
Oh,
yeah,
I can't
absolutely.
Wait to hear more about this. It's been a while since they've been in. Okay, Mark Carpenter and her Linda here. It's Brouhaha, the Hop Monk Brouhaha, brought to you by Hop Monk and Della Tofola. Reintroduce our guests, and then we're going to talk popcorn, because
okay.
This stuff is amazing.
We've got Sherry and Jeff Selesky. from the famous Comet Corn that does the hippie dust popcorn, as well as many other flavors that you see at all the festivals, at all the tap rooms. You know, Moonlight has it, Cooperage has it, and you go to a great music festival like you know, the one for SIVA that Wavy Gravy does, and they're making hot, fresh popcorn, and you can put any kind of topping on it. But they sell these in the bags, like at Oliver's and at the tap rooms as well, and they pair fantastic with beer. And we've got Brian Hunt from Moonlight Brewing Company, who brought some killer beer, including his new cans.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm super stoked. We've got a Death and Taxes black beer. And
well, stoked that's at other brewery.
We'll talk about the popcorn, guys.
So, Brian, do you ever pair popcorn and beer in your house?
On a regular basis.
I think there might be one in particular that is a household favorite.
Well, Hippie Dust is a favorite in our household. There's no doubt about that.
Is there cannabis in the Hippie Dust?
No prescription necessary anymore.
But explain, guys, how this whole popcorn thing came to be. I mean, how did this all come about?
Popcorn came to be because we would never pay to go see as much music as we want, and we're not musicians. So how do you ingratiate yourself with musicians? They need a foundation for fun, and so you feed them and water them, and then you get to
see. They play forever.
Yeah.
I thought it was you bring them beer.
It wasn't water. That wasn't literally.
No, you bring them
not
beer.
Literally
no,
water.
You bring them
when
beer.
When he said you water them, I thought that's beer. Yeah. He means beer.
That's true.
Well, so how long have you guys been doing all this popcorn?
2002 was when we started at music festivals.
Wow.
And so we've been doing music festivals from Portland down to San Luis Obispo since 2002.
It really is amazing. And available, again, certainly a lot of breweries like Moonlight. But where else?
Oliver's, Big John's, Willoughby's.
Willoughby's, our sponsor.
Bottle Barn.
And about
Kirk
120
Andy's, Pacific Market.
Okay,
over 100
it's available
locations.
Is what you're
over 100
to say.
Locations.
Yes.
Can't list them all.
And what's it called again?
Comet Corn.
Comet Corn popcorn, because when you pop it, it flies.
Comet.
And yes. It's all natural.
Organic.
All the toppings. Oh, they're even organic. Like your maple syrup one, that's organic.
Maple syrup.
Wow. That's the maple syrup crystals.
Yep.
It's killer with, like, what beer would you pair the maple syrup with?
The maple syrup would be a porter or a stout.
Nice. What about that Bloody Mary one besides the obvious?
Well, I think Bloody Mary with a lager is a fine or an IPA.
Or a Saison, huh?
A Saison.
Yeah.
Yeah, the coconut curry, again, think of a Singha or a
they're
Thai,
all good with
Thai beer.
They're all good with...
I was having with a Death and Taxes.
Yeah,
I thought it was great.
That's pretty great.
Now, Mark Carpenter, you started, as I always say, about 71 at Anchor in San Francisco. During all those years in the 70s, 80s, whatever, before you retired, did you ever think there'd be popcorn made that would pair with different beers?
No.
I would never have thought that.
And I never would have thought I'd be in a radio studio with Steve Jackson talking about beer with Brian Hunt. But Brian Hunt, we ought to take a minute for Brian to give some of his history, because he has quite an interesting history.
Oh, He's
quite a bit younger than I am, but he's still an old guy.
Moonlight Brewing Company.
And he started with Schlitz Brewing. And
In Milwaukee?
In Milwaukee.
After I got out of brewing school, I had a job offer 2 weeks after my last final. Thought that was a pretty good deal.
Yeah, no kidding. And Schlitz eventually, I grew up in Detroit, so they bought Stroh's.
Stroh's bought them.
Oh, really?
Schlitz was, they were running high, and I think 57 they were number one, and 58 they had dropped to number two after Anheuser-Busch or the other. Somewhere in there.
But so they were big. They were a huge brewery on the U.S. scene.
They were absolutely, they were the biggest.
And Stroh's bought Schlitz.
Yeah, even the smaller Stroh's bought the bigger Schlitz. And you know what happens with venture capital and all sorts of leverage.
It didn't work out for Stroh's.
Neither one of them are around anymore, right?
Neither
even
one of
Schlitz.
Well,
right?
Schlitz is now owned by Pabst, and I've seen it out there. And
Pabst
they still,
almost went under.
They still sell Stroh's. I see Stroh's from time to time.
Probably so. It's not made, there anymore. Yeah. It's probably not fire brewed like you recall it.
Yes. I grew up with that. My dad and all his buddies, long neck Stroh's, man, that's what they drink all the time.
Well, all our beer is actually fire brewed, but we don't put it on a label.
Really?
Just for reference. Yep.
All right. So
why not?
One minute, though. I would like to mention the Schlitz Brewery that he worked at. It was a fabulous old brewery building. It was an all-copper brew house. Tell us a bit about that. I mean, that must have been impressive when you went there and saw this giant
built
brewery.
Built in 1846. It just looked like all the old brewery drawings and photographs of you know, in the city blocks. It was crazy. All in Milwaukee cream brick.
German family?
Schlitz does sound that German, yeah.
It's not Italian, I'll tell you.
No, not so much. Milwaukee's known as the Cream City, not because of Wisconsin is America's Dairyland, but because there was a particular style of brick or clay they used to make those bricks that gave these cream-colored bricks. And a lot of old Milwaukee was that until it was soot-covered, and then it looked kind of black.
Yeah, where did you grow up?
Sacramento.
No kidding.
Absolutely, yeah.
And
not
again,
Davis.
Did you go to UC Davis?
Yeah, I got out of UC Davis with a brewing degree in 1980.
And got hired 2 weeks later.
Speaking of Milwaukee, I'd like to raise a glass to Penny Marshall, Laverne and Shirley. Yes. They were at a beer line in Milwaukee.
Amen.
Schmazel, Hobbs & Schweppes Incorporated.
Very, very nice. Yes.
Chink. But after I started working at breweries, I really realized that there's such a great history of breweries in the United States. And as you go through the various cities, if you look around, you can usually spot the old brewery buildings.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I do.
For instance, in San Francisco, I think it's at 10th and Folsom, there's this beautiful old building. It's actually kind of a tiny building, but you can just tell it's a brewery, you know. And Schlitz was one of those beautiful buildings, and you had the Pabst Brewing Company in Milwaukee also.
Milwaukee was home to Pabst, Schlitz, and
Hams.
Miller.
Yeah.
And you couldn't – now, Hams is out of the Twin Cities.
Yeah.
Oh.
And you couldn't drive anywhere in Milwaukee without smelling boiling wort, boiling beer.
Yeah.
That's what I've always heard.
God, it was dream beer.
You actually make me want to go to Milwaukee.
Another smell was the Ambrosia Chocolate Factory.
Oh, really?
Beautiful.
How long were you in Milwaukee?
A year and a half until they closed down.
Wow.
But the Ambrosia Chocolate Factory, where some famous person we know worked, Jeffrey Dahmer.
he's been on the show before.
When you smelled that chocolate, it was wonderful. But if you smelled the boiling beer and the chocolate together, it actually was really not pleasant.
Really?
Did you go from Schlitz to New Albion here in Sonoma?
No, I never worked for New Albion. I was offered a job there, and Jack said, pay us $120 a week if there's money. Yeah. And I could tell by his voice, he was not kidding.
Yeah.
New Albion, just to put it in context, was the first new brewery opened in America after Prohibition.
Prohibition,
1976.
You applied over there? Or was he looking for brewers, or you went to go look for a job?
When I was at Davis, he posted a little notice saying he's looking for people. And another student of mine, Jeff Barkley.
Oh.
No, Don Barkley.
Don Barkley.
Yeah. Barkley, yeah.
Don Barkley went ahead and took that job. And
he was basically saying, you might make $125 a week, or maybe not.
Or maybe not.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if the beer's bad that week and we don't sell it, you can have all the, you know, there you go. One.
But when I first got to know Brian, he was starting Moonlight, and he really operated on his own. I mean, I was so impressed with him. And here was a young guy just starting out in this.
I was younger then, that's for sure.
Yeah. In what we would call today a nano brewery.
I suppose so, yeah. Seven barrels.
What year was that?
92.
1992, okay.
And it was out of your home, right?
Yeah, a garage or a barn behind my house.
Yeah.
And when did Moonlight start again?
92.
92.
Back when you were just a teenager.
Are you kidding me? I wasn't born yet.
We need to take away your beer.
Everybody loves Moonlight. And I don't know.
Oh, they make great beers. Well, because they make great beers. It's real easy.
Death and taxes.
Is
iconic.
Have you been doing that since the beginning?
Oh, yeah.
It's the one that I certainly know more than any of the others.
Death and Taxes, I think, is our most famous one. The Twist of Fate was also one of our first three. We made one called more recently called Lunatic Lager, and it went through a couple names. It was first, I think it was Lunar Export Lager, and that didn't quite work as well as I wanted, and it was something else before that, which my name, the name is escaping
me. But you actually also have something very unique about Moonlight Brewery, too, is that I can't say on air what you usually say about hops, but you do a lot of beers without hops, including one of my new favorites.
The Legal Tender.
Legal Tender.
How do you make beer without hops?
Yes, tell us, because a lot of people don't
hops
know this.
Hops is just a spice. Hops is just an accent.
I thought
flavor.
It was like the bottom line to make any beer.
Malted barley.
Okay.
The saying is malt is the soul of beer. And there's four parts of that saying, and I forgot two of them. But the last one's carbonation is the life of beer.
Wow.
I like that.
So flat beer is kind of like lifeless, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But malt is the soul of beer. Malt's what gives you the color of all beers, the degree of roast, just like a piece of bread in your toaster. And so Death and Taxes being dark is dark roast. So it's of the body. It gives the starch. It gives the alcohol. It gives that heft when you're drinking, like, yeah. That's in my parrot
voice. But
Death
and Taxes does
I wish
hops.
We were on video right now. You should have seen his face. It was great.
And the pirate. expression, too.
But you'd be a good pirate.
So isn't there something about toast that's coming up in about a week?
Well, yes, we do make a beer called Toast.
Pray tell.
This is what it sounds like.
Is there some in the bag?
No, there's not some in the back. We didn't can it. And we make it every January, and we only release it after Christmas. Why after Christmas? Because it's not a Christmas beer, because it's a New Year's beer. When you do a lot of
toasting.
Toasting.
Yes.
So how do you make the toast?
We
besides
get all
using
the malts
a toaster,
that we can use that taste like toast.
Really?
And my impression is it's a beer that tastes like toast, because if you're going to toast somebody, you may as well have something that tastes like toast. Doesn't
nothing
that
wrong with
make
that.
The
I
most
like
sense?
The idea.
So Mark, your thoughts? Have you tasted
the
toast?
I have not. I can't wait to try it. I'm going to have to go get some.
You're going on vacation tomorrow. Are you coming back in the new year at all, or when can we get a hold of some?
Well, I will not necessarily be here, but the tap room will be open Wednesday through Sunday.
I may have to go pick some up.
And just after Christmas, the toast will be ready, and it won't be in cans. It'll be only available on draft, and some other fine drinking establishments will also have it, I can trust.
But
of course.
I have a growler, so if I want to take some home.
You're a lucky popcorn man.
Well, he is a lucky popcorn man. Many counts.
It's moonlightbrewing.com. Tell everyone about where you are. And
I'm at the studios of KSRO.
Yes. Thank you, because I wasn't sure where I was. So I'm
more in the same boat. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for reminding me.
How did you meet these folks, the popcorn folks?
Oh, my lovely wife, Robin, has known these two forever. And she has a very severe addiction.
I was
going to
say,
the
she's our
dust.
Best customer.
You know what?
Yes.
The first bag of the hippie dust was free.
that's all it took.
Yeah, I understand.
Yes, she's very much an addict. That's very true.
This is the greatest popcorn ever. I'm a big popcorn guy, and the fact that what you guys are doing with the different tastes and the pairings with beer and everything, it blows me away.
And the fact just that we're willing to wear popcorn clothing.
Your hat is a popcorn hat. I just
how do you
that.
And his shirt.
A popcorn shirt.
How do you sew the popcorn together to make the clothing that you're wearing?
That's the secret.
Oh, that reminds me at Christmas very when nice. I used to string. Did you string popcorn and cranberries together
absolutely.
For the Christmas tree when you guys
no,
were kids?
No, I was way too lazy, and so were my parents.
We did it for you.
There must be an Italian tradition for the trees, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
panettone.
Hung a bunch of crap on the tree. And, all right, everybody happy? All right, good.
Well, popcorn's traditionally Italian, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's from the old country.
I think it's a Native American.
No.
Which old country
the South American old country.
Yeah.
I think it started in Pengrove, actually. I have no idea, but I don't think it's Italian. But this stuff is amazing. As far as the popcorn website.
That's www.cometcorn.com.
Cometcorn.com.
So there's Celestial, which is a sea salt, Coconut Curry, which is a Thai style, Bloody Mary, Hippie Dust, and maple syrup, and they're all organic for the flavorings. And I think you're going to get to lay on the couch with a movie and the dog and a bunch of popcorn tonight, Steve.
This is it.
I'm not sure about the dog, because then you have to have two bags, one for the dog, one for you. Our cats love this popcorn, too.
Oh, I know. My dog will go nuts. He loves the popcorn.
So I get two bags.
It is your Brouhaha, the Hop Monk Brouhaha, brought to you by Hop Monk Della Tofola. And, of course, our friends at Willoughby's in Petaluma and Santa Rosa, and Mark Carpenter and her Linda. They know all about Willoughby's. They are there all the time. Mark lives in Petaluma now that he's retired, and you're there all the time.
I drive past that place every day, and it's quite a few times I pull in there. It's a great place for supplies,
and it's
especially for the holidays.
They do everything.
And Santa Rosa does even more than Petaluma, because they have the tasting room. You can taste wines. You can taste all kinds of beers. They have what I call the treasures room, with really great Christmas gifts inside that treasures room. Rare wines, rare scotches and whiskeys and beers. They have all like the rape beer winners. They have a cigar humidor with all the accoutrements.
I'm saying they do everything, and they know everything. So
they
have
a tasting every Thursday and usually every Friday and Saturday. I went to this whiskey tasting with Teeling Whiskey that they did at the Hyatt like last week. And it was insane. It was an incredible tasting. The people that they get from these different places, it was really, really fun. So I would suggest that's a great place to go and get your Christmas gifts, stuff for your parties. And they have the bags and everything. You can buy a bottle and put it in a cute bag, and you're done.
It's Willoughby's in Santa Rosa on 3rd Street.
On 3rd Street, right by 3rd Street Ale Works. Oh, they have Comet Corn there, I'm being told.
They do have Comet Corn.
They are. Corn. See how excellent they are? That's
Mark, you're there in Petaluma a lot, you're a beer guy completely, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely,
But explain how great they are when it comes to different kinds of craft.
Oh, they have everything. I mean, this time of year, if you want champagne, they have a huge range of champagne. Obviously, I walk through rows and rows of wines to get to the beer. but if you're looking for wine, they've got it.
That's how you get your exercise.
And if you haven't tried Death in Texas, you can get it at Willoughby's. No? Oh, I take that back.
Not yet.
Not yet, baby.
What?
I thought we're drinking it from a can here, so I thought for sure that we're going to get out there. So.
It'll be at Willoughby's.
It'll be there.
I think that we're working on that, right?
Yep.
Perfect.
Fabulous.
It's Willoughby's in Petaluma.
It's a great beer,
Santa Rosa.
And he's producing it in cans now.
Are you guys hip to Della Tofola?
Mm.
No? For over 60 years, Della Tofola has been making equipment for the wine, beer, and beverage industries.
I thought you were going to tell me it was a restaurant. It's like, that sounds good.
I know. It does sound like kind of a restaurant.
Italian restaurant, yeah.
This worldwide for wine, beer, and beverage industries. But they're based right here in Santa Rosa. They're great folks. They do everything from crushers to conveyors and pumps to presses, filters, fillers, and complete packaging solutions. Okay.
And I'd like to tell people about the podcast.
I just got a one-minute warning from Mike.
The podcast, if people want to rehear a show,
thank you.
Send a show to a friend that they thought would be interesting, you can find it on iTunes under podcast.
All right. And all you folks, great to see everybody. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Cheers. Toast.
The popcorn. Try the popcorn. It's amazing. Woo-hoo. Thanks to everybody. Good night.
Yay.
Merry Christmas.
Be safe out there.
Happy holidays.